Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ball's got to go right. Look out, they may score on this play. Mannering, Johnson decides to come back in field. Johnson gets dancing. Johnson,
no way! No way!
Johnson has run over to score. This is incredible. This is ridiculous. This is 15 out of 10 on the incredible meter.
What about the last 5 minutes? Thank you to the football gods for letting us watch this.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Weekly Wrap for round three of the NRL. You could probably call it a bit of a blowout round, to be honest. There's a couple of close games today, but there was some stunning results there. And just as always, there's equally interesting Supercoach scoring. So let's get straight into it. Going all the way back to Thursday night. And we saw the Panthers put the cleaners through the Bronx. They were already down and out going into the game. Or well, probably not down and out, but, I mean, you know, they were up against it. Reynolds and Haas out. And then Reece Walsh had the head clash pretty early in the game. And that's, even though they ruled that it wasn't a facial fracture, I think the Broncos doctor, he was looking at coming back onto the field, is subsequently being confirmed as a facial fracture, and he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. First thing I did was probably have a look at who's coming in for him. Tristan Saylor, unfortunately, he's priced at 561K for super coaches out there, so he's not really a short-term option while Reece Walsh is out. In terms of the game, the Panthers were just clinical, took advantage of, you know, like 2 weeks in a row, they've got the advantage of an outside back slash fullback injury. And they were just ruthless until about the last 15 minutes, where the Broncos showed a bit of signs of life and the Panthers clocked off a little bit. But it brings up the point, I was talking on the WhatsApp chat to the subscribers, that teams really need to consider genuine utilities or outside backs, like the old-style reserves. Like, they might not get on the field, but usually forwards are playing big minutes anyway and can play big minutes. So if you've got your forwards there and there's not an injury in your forward rotation and your forwards can play big minutes, you could probably carry a specialist back that can play fullback, sort of 1 through to 5. You know, if you've got a really good utility, you know, they could probably come in the forwards or in the middle if needed. But it just cruels teams defensively. And Tago, Isaac Tago, he's been the beneficiary both weeks of it. So, I mean, he's had some good scores, but I wouldn't be getting too carried away because he's been running at back rowers both weeks. Pretty fortuitous. So, if you've got on him, then, yeah, definitely ride your luck. But I wouldn't expect it to continue the elite-level scoring. It's been a bit of luck involved there. So, having a look at the Supercoach scores, Brian Toto, notoriously good Supercoach player, but it hasn't had much chat about him lately. But 124, he's had a pretty solid start to the season and still showing that he can bang out those big hundreds. Cleary bounced back, 121. Had him as my vice captain, was going to loop him all the way up until Viliame Fifita played. And yeah, that blew all that chances of that. And that's the risk of sort of running with these cheapies to make some money. And if they backfire, so I'll be looking to get Fifita out of my team ASAP. Isaac Tungo, like I said, 100, but bear in mind the injuries did help. I probably, if you bought him last week, absolutely good on you. But yeah, a bit of luck involved with that. He's a good player though. Liam Henry, 55. He went into the game with a -3 break even. And he goes into, well, projected break even for this week from Jay Schubert is -8, and he's going to rise about 50 grand. So in terms of front row forwards, we'll go through the positions a bit later and who's had the biggest price rise and the BEs and that, but certainly Liam Henry's been a win for anyone who's jumped on him at the start of the season. Well done. Taylor May, I'm not sure if he went for a HIA or not. I wasn't watching the game that closely, but he got 30, so that's a bit down on what he normally does, but I think he'll bounce back, solid hold. Obviously, Reece Walsh, really unlucky for owners, I feel for you. Yeah, and he's going to be out for a bit, so he's a trade-out. Jesse Arthur's solid again, 45. Piakura, I thought, was the best player for the Broncos, 57. He was great in a team that was well beaten. Wilson, 51, so keep an eye out for him. I'm not sure. Yeah, well, Payne Haas is out for a while, so we'll see what he can do in that time. Okay, on to our first question from the godfather of SC Playbook, Timmy Williams.
G'day, Wiles. First question of this week's podcast from myself. What do you put Nico's poor Supercoach scoring down to so far this season? Is it Trindle's impact that could be lasting, or will he bounce back to his best, do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Timmy. Well, the short and boring answer is I'm not really sure, but I've never been as enamored with Nico Hines as a half as others because, like, I've consistently said I feel like he's too lateral in attack and he's a bit suspect in defence. And our defence doesn't matter for Supercoach. We know that. You can miss tackles, I mean, and get away with it. So you can disregard defence in terms of Supercoach. The attack with the Sharks in the first 3 weeks has definitely been reined in, and I think they had to do something different. They've sort of, you know, made the eight for the last few years but never really threatened to do anything, just sort of gone out the back door in one or two games. So they have to make a change that somewhere, and I think, you know, obviously Moylan's out and Trindle's in there, and Trindle is a more dominant half. But, yeah, I'm not 100% sure what's going on with the Cronulla attack. I think it still looks pretty good when they get out to the centres, and the centres are really good attacking players, and so is Teague Wilton. But, yeah, Nico looked off. He kicked a couple of balls out on the full. He just didn't seem to have that energy. I think the changes probably have affected him a bit in their start to the season. Like, he still gets 50 in his sleep. It's ridiculous. He's just made for Supercoach. So I'm in two minds. It's definitely a conundrum for Supercoaches this week, whether you trade out Nico and you're going to take a fair loss from there, or do you just continue on and just treat it as in, I've got him now, I'm just going to ride or die with him. He's not going to play Origin, so that's one positive thing. But, yeah, we really need him to get back to that elite-level scoring. There isn't a great deal of other options, but certainly if you started with, say, a Brooks, or I'm trying to think of the other halves who've done pretty well. There's not a great deal there that have killed it. I think having a look at some of the spreadsheets that Jay showed me, the biggest price rise was Chad Townsend. So, you know, I wouldn't be tipping Townsend into anyone. So, yeah, it's a conundrum from that point of view, whether you hold or you sell Nico. Okay, on to Friday night, and the Warriors got the win in a high-quality encounter against the Raiders. I'm more impressed with the Raiders week on week. They could well be a top eight side playing like that. It's early in the season, and they play a brand of footy that suits early in the season, sort of high completion rate, low errors, really tough, really gritty, and, you know, fight over a bone type of thing. But, you know, I'm thinking they could be a side that could make the eight, maybe over a side like the Knights, who I'd consider a better side with more attack in them, but they just don't seem to be able to get the simple things right. And even tonight, like, they got away with the win, and good luck to them. But, geez, it was hard attack material at the end there, so... the Warriors, in my opinion, yeah, like I say, I always declare my bias there, but I usually have a fairly objective view of things if I didn't think they were going that well. But I think they're top four bound. I think they left a lot of points out there in that game, and they have probably done that a little bit over the first 3 weeks. So I think if they really click, then they're going to be a side that's going to be humming. Okay, Supercoach scores. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, he is back in a big way. Went back to fullback, which is interesting because Charles Nicol-Klokstad is due back in round next week, next round. So in round four or round five. And Tuipiki picked up another HIA, which you'd think would probably rule him out next week. It was unfortunate for Tuipiki. He got 35. He might be a sell, possibly. If he plays this week, then you'd definitely hold on to him. If he doesn't play this week, then he might be a sell. But he's definitely not an urgent sell. But yeah, I think RTS is a must-have. Now, AFB got another try, 77. DWZ going through all the names here, 74 with a try. SJ, 47. Yeah, look, I think SJ is going to warm into the season. They're doing the right thing by him, not involving him too much. I think he's possibly carrying a niggling injury. But yeah, he could be a really good pickup later in the year when there's Origin about and some of the halves are in the mix there and he's not playing Origin and he picks back up that goal kicking. So speaking about goal kicking, Metcalf 62, you know, all three games have been massively attack reliant, but you got to say, like, he's got that attack in him. But yeah, I could see him banging out a 20, 25 or 30 some game where he doesn't get that attack, but at the moment, he's a very instinctive player, and the goal kicking is certainly helping him out there. For the Raiders, Strange 29, Levi 29, probably a sell now. He's going to make 40K or so. And I think if you grabbed him at the start of the year, that's pretty good. Xavier Savage 31, Smithies 38 in 66 minutes. Possibly the return of Whitehead might have hurt his minutes a little bit. I'm not sure what he's been playing, but his scoring was a little bit down. That's one to watch with Horsburgh coming back. Zach Hosking, 52. That's a win for owners. He had 60 minutes game time, and he's got a huge price rise coming. So Jay Schubert predicted about 83 grand price rise, and he'll have a 25 break even. So for those people that took the punt on him, I didn't because he was 511,000 already, and I thought, you know, with Elliot Whitehead, the captain, coming back, he's not really, you know, he'll have one or two price rises and then he'll basically start to drop. But if you can make 100,000 out of him or 150,000, well done to you. Great play. Okay, there were two or three players I saw on the weekend, and I just thought I'd just have to have them in my side. Just that feeling where I don't want to sort of be watching their game and be watching them play without having them. And one of those was Dom Young. Oh, he just looked so good. His involvement levels were through the roof from what I saw compared to the Knights. I think he's going to get plenty of tries on the back of that Roosters backline, even though Joey Manu does like to hold on to the ball. He got two there, but I still think he's going to get heaps of tries. Yeah, look, the Roosters are the real deal this year. They're a genuine top four, so probably top two. You know, like I said last week, their main drawback is probably that long kicking game that they have to rectify, and they've got pretty small halves, so you can get your edge back rowers running at the halves. South Sydney, what can you say about them? They're just in disarray. It looks like it could get pretty ugly out there at Redfern, so we'll wait and see what happens with that one. Okay, have a look at the Supercoach relevant scores. Dom Young, 150. Oh, geez, I want him in my side. I don't know if I can get him, but I'm sort of almost prepared to move heaven and earth to bring him in. James Tedesco, 135. Had him as my vice captain, changed it to Cleary. Yeah, he would have been good. I would have been able to take the VC in that instance with that extra sort of 20 points. But in the end, it cost me a few points, but, you know, they're just decisions that you make, I guess. And, yeah, I ended up captaining Tommy Turbo, and he was a bit unlucky not to get 100, but he banged out a 75 to 80, so that's not too bad. Terrell May, a little bit of a down game. We still played 52 minutes, even though it was JWH's 300th game, but just got 44 points. Keon Kalaumatangi, 98, with 13 tackle breaks. I just can't recall whether he was running at Walker or Sandon Smith, but I can remember Walker getting bumped off a lot of tackles, so I'd have to see how many tackles he missed. But the only thing that that sort of brings up is from a matchup point of view, if you're coming up against Walker, like, I mean, he's a lot of the time he's just trying to get his body in front of those big players. So if there is matchups against Walker or maybe even Sandon Smith or Keary's probably the better defender out of all three of them, you have to really have a look at that coming up against the Roosters, because they will bounce off tackles and then other players will make up for it and come in and give them some support. Latrell, 36, pretty disappointing for owners, obviously with that sin bin there as well. Davi Mualli, 10. I mean, I'm a big fan of Davi, but that's soul-destroying if you brought him in, even if it is front row forward and there's not much sort of relevance to it in Supercoach. 10 from Davi Mualli. I don't know if he was injured or what, but yeah, that is struggling. Okay, let's take our second question of the week from Timmy Williams.
Next up, mate, with 57 minutes and a relatively poor work rate, do you see Kulikefu Finifuiaki as a buy, or will he be too attack reliant this season?
Yeah, thanks, Timmy. Really depends on team makeup for me. Like, I'd buy Samuel Afainu before him as a moneymaker. If you need to play him every week, I think he probably scores somewhere between 35 to 60 in that range, Finifuiaki. I'm not overly keen on him this week. I think I'll probably let him go. I think there's enough cheapies emerging. Maybe I'll regret it later, but I don't think so. Like, he did score a good try there, but yeah, and there's a lot of attack in the Cowboys, but I feel like the Cowboys, they might have already attacked that soft side of the draw. So we'll just wait and see. He's probably a player that I'm going to have to give a miss because I've got more priorities. Okay, on to the next game, and there is now a new red-hot favourite for the Wooden Spoon, and that is the Gold Coast Titans. Yeah, for sure, they were missing Fifita and Campbell, who are probably their two best players behind Tino, but they got some issues with Tino. I think he's done an ACL or whatever he's done. He's out for the season. Yeah, look, they have looked woeful in their first two games. In saying that, I sort of wonder, there's a couple of turning points in these matches where teams are pretty fickle and they don't have much confidence, and Titans is one of them, and they can ebb and flow in between games. But imagine if Brimson or Foran actually scored that try right at the start where Brimson took the bomb and then all he had to do was fall over, but he wasn't sure if someone's going to tackle him from behind, so he passed it to Foran and he dropped it. I mean, I don't think I've seen a round where there was so many bomb tries, like just blatantly bomb tries. The Raymond Fatala Mariner one was huge too in the St. George game. But yeah, who knows what would happen if they got out to a 6-0 lead, because they're a bit of a confidence team. But the Titans have defensive issues, and their roster all of a sudden looks a bit dodgy with Tino out for the year. It was a great win for the Dogs regardless. Great reward for effort for the first two games. Kikau is absolutely killing it. And it's a big game versus South. I mean, if they can put together another win against a struggling South, then yeah, all of a sudden some opinions might change on the Dogs. Supercoach scoring. Jacob Carraz, 115. That's a big win for owners. Some might have actually traded him out. So they might be regretting that. A Salmon, 35. I think if you haven't traded him out, he's not going to do too much for you this year, Jamin Salmon. Josh Curran, 52. He should probably be in your side by now. He's going to be a solid contributor all year. Hutchinson, 64. He's got a bit more to offer than Salmon, and 64 is a good score. I think he'd probably still be a little bit disappointed in a route that he's only scored 64 as a halfback, but You know, you got to take what they give you. Burton, 35. Again, you'd probably be disappointed if you had Burton. Bo Fermor was pretty good, 53. But again, he's probably not a player you're going to look to bring in, given the state of the Titans at the moment. Sam Hughes only played 20 minutes and 23 points. So the slowest of slow burns. Talk about missed opportunities and turning points. Like I mentioned, if you did not see the Dragons game versus the Cowboys, and get yourself a look. It probably won't be on the highlights. It actually probably – sometimes these things – don't actually make the NRL highlight, so you might have to go back and watch a replay. But have a look at the try that Raymond Faitala-Mariner bombs and how the game turns on a dime. Like, I'm pretty certain, I haven't gone back and checked, but I'm pretty certain the score was 18-4, and St. George, it was by how many? Like, they were absolutely blitzing the Cowboys. Raymond Faitala-Mariner ran through on a kick, and he basically, I think he must have started celebrating before he grabbed it and put it down or something in his head, but it wasn't a hard bounce or anything. He just bombed it. And then after basically everything after that was Cowboys. It was a complete shift in the game. Cowboys looked they turned up there pretty ordinary. They looked there to be beaten, but they can definitely attack the Cowboys. There's no doubt about that. And when they attack, they have waves of momentum that even the best sides struggle to contain. So from that point of view, they're good. I don't think they're a legitimate contender yet. I think it's a wait-and-see job just because their defense is suspect, particularly their middle defense for me. But, yeah, back to the drawing board for poor old Flano. The Dragons were disappointing. Okay, Supercoach scores Val Holmes, 144. It's a huge start to the year for Val Holmes. He had a shocker in between two games where he got 100-plus, but even that shocker is a bit like Nico. He still got 50 for Supercoach. So he's playing in a very attacking side, and that's the thing you've got when you've got Cowboys and Manly players. They're such attacking sides, and they're just going to attack from anywhere, that you're probably going to get those points if you're in the outside backs or key positions. Zach Lomax, 98, just missed, same as Val Holmes. Like, they're smaller tons, but like, oh well, he got a ton in the first round, sort of pretty reasonable around 50, and then now he's nearly got another ton, so it's going to be a big year for Lomax for sure. And he was trying his guts out. One of the best players for the Dragons for sure. Of course, there's a bit of conjecture about whether he's going to stay at St. George, but I don't think Flanagan's got any appetite to let him go. Reece Robson, probably been a player that I haven't really watched that closely. And you get put off a little bit by Granville, but it doesn't seem to affect his minutes. Like, I think Todd Payton really likes him on the field. So even if Granville does come on for a period of time, he tries to keep Robson on, or like he'll play Jakey Granville in like a running position as a lock, or he'll move Robson into lock. So it's good for owners. He started with him over Grant. I mean, Grant's been a little bit down. There's a few reasons that I'll talk about when I talk about the Melbourne game, but where I think he's a solid hole, Grant. But certainly, Reece Robson's had a great start to the year with a couple of 60s and then a 95. That's great for owners. Tommy Dearden, 70, copped a bit of heat. I seen SC Playbook put a quote, as Timmy cuts up some quotes that aren't necessarily always in context, that come out of contributors' articles and that. And I must have said something about Tommy Dearden last week that I thought he was, you know, getting up to that elite level, and it was showing in his Supercoach scoring. I sort of stand by that. I don't think in that respect it's come out of context. But there's a few people on, you know, the social media who were saying, oh, you know, he got that with a try and he hasn't got any ceiling and whatnot. Punched out another 70. I thought he was pretty good. The thing about Tom Dearden is, like, let's take away the Supercoach score. He is genuinely becoming one of the elite halves in the game. A lot of the tries, if you go back and have a look at them closely, a lot of the tries start from him really squaring up the defense in the middle. And because he is such a run threat, maybe – maybe the most dangerous run threat in the halves out of anyone in the NRL, and that's a big call, but he'd be right up there. When he runs direct or in between two players, you have to commit to him. You have to put men on him, and that straightens the defense up. And if they are checking and then shifting out, they really have to hold their line there, because he'll keep you honest. And what I'm finding is, like, you know, it's opening up space for drinking, and he doesn't really need the extra space, to be honest. But yeah, I think Tommy Dearden's in for a big year. McIntyre, very happy with that. He's just sitting on my bench there, making some money. Got a nice crash over try, punched out a 70. I mean, it's not going to be consistent enough to play him, but he can make some money. And if there's a few injuries in the middle, I think, you know, Cotter might have picked up an injury. I mean, is he next cab off the rank, or is he just sort of like that player who comes off the bench all throughout the year? I'm not sure, but certainly if he starts getting some minutes, he can punch out some scores. Oh, I'm happy to keep him there on the bench. Kulakefi Finifuiaki, 57 with a try. Pretty good. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure that I'm bringing him in yet, but like, I couldn't knock anyone who does. For the Dragons, apart from Lomax, there wasn't much. Luciano Leilua looked pretty good in NRL, punched out a 55 in Supercoach from 80 minutes. So I'm going to throw him on the watch list and keep an eye on him. Oh, on to the next game. What a great comp the NRL is when the Tigers, who came last for the last 2 years, come out and beat a 2-0 side in the Sharks. A 32-6 demolition job of the Sharks. Just shows you that any team that turns up on the day can beat any other team if they're a little bit off. And the Sharks were off, but the Tigers looked great. They really did. It was a bit of appy giveth, appy taketh away for mine. I mean, I noticed a lot of the line breaks and the success that the Sharks had, limited success early, was from defensive decision errors that Appy made, either coming up out of the system too hard, or, you know, sometimes he can duck his head early in tackles. But yeah, in attack, wow, how good is he? Just so crafty, and Benji Marshall's given him the keys to the team, and he's given him the spare keys as well in case he loses the first set. I mean, that is basically his team. And the good thing about it is he's got a veteran there in Caesar, but Benji's been smart enough to not bring Caesar in and say, run this team. It's basically Appy running the team, and you don't see that very often in the NRL. So it gives them a very different point of attack, and they have the big forwards who can generate that ruck speed, and he's so crafty around the ruck. So it takes a lot of pressure off the halves, to be honest. It's sort of a refreshing style of play to see, and I'm excited to watch the Tigers this year. Just a note on Jareem Buller, just a special player. Well, I don't think we'll fully appreciate, the mainstream fan will fully appreciate how good he is until the Tigers come through and start making the finals, and then people will talk about it. But what he's done in his first year and couple of games has been phenomenal. He is a special, special player. Sharks look flat. And Nico, I hate to sound like a broken record, he was way too sideways. Is he a trade-out? Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. You know, you're going to take a big hit on him. We'll have a look at exactly how much when we go through the positions. Actually, I'll have a quick look now. So according to Jay Schubert, it might have adjusted a little bit because I think he went up to 52, but his next break even will be 125, and he's going to lose 120k. And that's what happens when you price that high at 970. But if you're going to stick with him, you're basically taking the gamble that he's going to bounce back, and or you're saying, I'm just sticking with him all year. So we'll see how that goes down.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Sorry, you might have heard the ding on my phone there, but Desi Creek, the legend, the 2019 champions, just sent me through a message. How primed does Galvin look for Supercoach? The offloads, the tackle bust. Yeah, and like I said before, he's playing with very limited pressure on him. Like, it's not as much as you'd expect from a halfback coming in, and that's because so much of the game centers around Appy Coruscant, and it's a great way for a kid to make his way into A grade. Appy, looking at these scores, Appy, 105, just another player like Dom Young. I feel like I just need to trade in. So I could be going for 3 marquee trades this week. I mean, there's a couple that I'm really looking at, but I don't know if I'll just pull the trigger on these trades because I freed up 520K by going Kalen Ponga to Tedesco and a couple of other trades that I did, but I could probably go to Appy. I could probably go to Dom Young, and I could probably go to Hamasau Tabuai Fadou. It's a bit center wing centric, but, and I know that Dom Young's playing Penrith, but I feel like, yeah, he's almost matchup proof. I mean, Penrith is a matchup that is tough for anyone, but I just want Dom Young in my side, and I don't know if he'll lose too much money this year. I'd be happy to ride it out. Okay, back to the Tigers. 81 for Buller. Like I said, outstanding young player, positionally very good. One of the things that people don't notice with fullbacks, but positionally, the amount of times he catches the ball on the full, he's always there. He's a very good positional player for a young fullback. Olam, 84. Yeah, I mean, he could be value. If he's a strike center in that side, they're going to probably give him a lot of clean ball. He's running off Galvin, who's a running threat, so he's going to draw players into him, and he likes to offload Galvin. So 423K, I don't really like centres in the centre wing that aren't goal-kicking, but yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on him. Got another game to have a look at him. Galvin, 72, like Desi Creek said. How exciting. He doesn't overplay his hand. I was a bit dirty at myself because when I decided that I wasn't going to loop Nathan Cleary, I had to bring another player in because my final trade was Joe Chan. So I decided to bring in Samuel Afainu because it saves me a trade next week. I was going to definitely bring him in next week, you know, unless something went wrong with him. So I was a little bit risky in the fact he could have got injured, but, you know, it wasn't a lot of money to have him sitting on my pine anyway. So I brought him in and I put Galvin as my reserve, and then I swapped it back to Afainu, and then I swapped it back to Galvin. And then I swapped it back to Fino. So that cost me, what'd Fino get? 33. So cost me 39 points, which is a little bit disappointing, but that's the way it goes. Talakai, I don't have his score here, but he was pretty impressive. I think he got around the 60-odd. He's had a devastating start to the season. He had less opportunities, obviously, in that game because they were pretty flat, but he, apart from like sort of running in the last line of defense into one of the toughest blokes to play NRL in Isaiah Papali'i, he scores that try. Like, and I'd almost say anybody else he runs over and scores that try. But Papali'i got run over, but he did enough. He got his body in front of him enough where he was able to slow him down and they stopped him. Mulatalo, 56. That was a good recovery. He looked like he was going for a pretty low score there. Wilton, 55, I think, is if you're an owner, you'd be a little bit disappointed because he got a decent matchup there and they didn't really turn up. So Nico, I've got him down for 53. I think he got 52 or 53. 2 or 3 kicks out on the full. Trade or keep, that's a big call. Last one, Samuel Afainu, 47 minutes. and 33. I think the most promising thing about Finau is, like, apart from the eye test, he looks really good, big, rangy forward, can play, could play edge forward, or can play in the middle, and they've been playing him a lot in the middle, but he's got a great skill set. Like, he got a ball from Appy Coruscant, was around his bootlaces, every entitlement to drop it, picked it up, yeah, and went from there. And I think he's got offloads in him as well when they start to open up his game. But the most promising thing is the minutes that Marshall's given him. He's getting him on at every opportunity to play these sort of minutes early in his career. Yeah, I like it. Okay, on to the third and last question from Timmy Williams.
Mate, really unfortunate injury, season ending to Tino Fasua-Malawi for the Titans. Who do you see benefiting in the Titans pack minutes-wise going forward this season?
Yeah, the Titans have looked terrible in their first two games, Timmy, and with no Tino, like I said before, it makes it really tough. No one really jumps out in their squad at me. At a stretch, I'd say his brother, Isaac Fasua-Malawi, priced at 285K, is probably the only one, but I prefer to watch and wait and see. I mean, I won't be jumping into any Titans. You know, that side has shown nothing. A bit like St. George last year, it was very hard to get excited about anyone Supercoach-wise in their team until you see something from them. They are struggling. Okay, on to our final games for the day, for today. So what a cracking game this was. High quality, so much ball in play. Didn't seem to be a lot of errors in this Eels versus Seagulls game at CommBank. You watched the start of the game and you just thought, geez, Manly are going to blow them off the park here. But, yeah, I mean, the Eels hung in there. They're a tough side, the Eels. It's hard to know exactly what to make of it. Both teams were compromised with their talent in the outside backs. I mean, they were both playing sort of players. And in a way, it really cost them. I think they stripped them short on the left side. So Manly were running the ball to the left side against the right side defense of the Eels. And the big fella who was playing on the wing, I just can't think of his name, but he just doesn't have a lot of pace, and it showed a couple of times. Whereas I think if there was a player that had some pace, like maybe if they had Cooler on the outside, or, you know, Saab, definitely, he probably would have finished a couple of tries or made some line breaks off Tommy Turbo. So that probably dented his score a little bit. In the same respect, I mean, the Eels were struggling with some outside backs, but I thought the young fella, Blaise Talangi, went pretty good. The momentum shifts in this game, they were just so extreme. And it was, I think there was one time there where they showed a stat when Parramatta came back into it to make it 16-14. Like, I don't know if Manly did that much wrong, but the possession just totally shifted. They had 11 of 12 completions in this period of time. I think it might have been 15 or 20 minutes. And in the same period of time that they had 11 sets, Manly had maybe one from two. Yeah, I don't know how that works, but just repeat sets and tries, and yeah, it was a crazy, crazy game like that, but so entertaining to watch. What else have I got? Dylan Brown found the Seagulls' chink in their armor defensive wise. The wingers come in really hard, so there'll be some sides that can exploit that, either with the kick over the top to a chasing player or that floater ball. Brown knew what he was doing. He just didn't really execute it early in the game, and that probably cost him a few Supercoach points in the end, because if he hit the mark, he would have had, you know, line break assist and a try assist on a couple of those. They scramble really well on a number of them as well, so... The years are tough. They're looking good in the halves in particular. Like, the combination between Moses and Brown is really good. It's not ideal for Brown's Supercoach scoring, where he's playing first receiver a lot and Moses is playing the sweep runs. But it's good for Moses, actually. It makes me really consider whether Mitchell Moses is a play, particularly when he gets back to goal kicking. So he's doing a lot more running, which is strange because I think he's carrying a bit of an injury, but he's such a threat on that sweep play with his speed. So Dylan Brown, 52. I think I'm going to stick with him. I think I'm just going to hold him. I mean, I could move him on to a Metcalf or a Brooks, but I'm happy enough to hold Dylan Brown. I think we've probably seen his floor and, you know, hopefully he'll just get better from here, taking more runs and that. But he's definitely playing a different style of game this year, so I have to keep a close eye on it. He definitely probably doesn't have as much base as he has in the past where he took a lot of runs. Moses, 109. Like I said, the sweep play is really working for his super coach scoring. Didn't do the goal kicking, still punched out of school like that. It's pretty impressive. Sean Lane, 35, not overly explosive. Probably Dylan Brown threw a ball that went a little bit behind him. If you hit him with that, he might have made a line break. So, yeah, Joey Lussick, 32, had to bring him in for that price rise. But he doesn't – I mean, when he doesn't get his attack, that's probably going to be the floor for him. He might update to 35, 40. Joe Offahengawi, not overly relevant to most people. I do have him in there, 35. Hopefully updates to 40, 45. That's a solid enough hit out for him. He might give me a small price rise. I mean, the other trade, if I don't go for the three marquee players I'm considering, is bringing in Flegler or Kerr, probably leaning towards Kerr. I think he's got a bit of super coach scoring in him. Could make a bit of money. Okay, Tommy Turbo, 79. He's going to lose some money, but probably not much. I'm committed to stick with him at this stage. He's looking reasonably fit. He's getting involved, and Manly are just playing such an attacking brand of footy. I think you've got to hang on to him. Burbo, 21. Whew. A lot of left side, like a lot of attack targeting the Eels left side defense. How do I put it? Yeah, so they went right a lot, and that sort of affected how much ball that Ben Trbojevic got. I'm not sure what's happening with Schuster, but after a game like that, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But obviously that's his floor. It wasn't real exciting for owners, and I wouldn't mind being in a position to have those marquee center wings so I don't have to worry about that sort of score. But he could pop off at any time as well, so it's a risky one. Olakau'atu, 51. I mean, that's as good as he's going to be defended. Dylan Brown handled him about as good as anyone will. So in terms of that, that's about all his floor for this year. And he's a player I want to get in eventually, but he's not a priority. Brooks, 50. Looked like he could pop off for more than that, but he's sort of that type of player. I don't know if he'll ever... you know, like he might punch out 100 and that. He, you know, he's basically getting scores to his value, maybe like slightly above it. But he doesn't, particularly with how attacking Manly have been, doesn't really inspire me to grab him in now, particularly after his price rise. I think he'll basically sort of average around that sort of 55 to 65, which will be good for people that jumped on him at the start. Okay, looking at the final game, the Knights versus Storm. This was a fairly dour affair. It was nowhere near as entertaining or high quality, I guess, as the Eels and Seagulls. A lot of errors. The Storm side was pretty well decimated and nearly came back and beat the Knights. But after the bye, have a think about this. So the Storm get back Munster, Nelson, Asafa Solomona, Welsh, and Chan was out for some reason. I think he had an infected hand, but Chan and Bloor is probably much of a muchness, and Welsh is not going great, but he is a big body in the middle, and he probably adds a little bit of quality and experience that, compared to what they had on the bench. And probably the biggest inclusion, I mean, like obviously Munster and Nasser are huge, but Suafalongo off the bench, that's exciting. I mean, with what they're doing in the middle, they're just like, they just work teams over in the middle, try to get them fatigued, and they're coming home strong. That's becoming a real game pattern for the Storm. I could see it. Whereas it's sort of a metamorphosis for them, because they were always a team for so many years that would come out so hard and they would blitz you, and then they'd hang on. They'd either continue to blitz you or they'd hang on to leads. But they'd come out and blow teams away. And I suppose they're still probably capable of that. But they seem to have this game style now where they really work you over in the middle, and they've got the, like, when they get those players back, obviously Jerome Hughes has got to come back as well. That's another huge out. Forgot about him, but he's suspended. I think he only got one game. So he'll be back next week. I think Melbourne Storm are in for a big year. The Knights, well, yeah, look, I want to say their quality because they do have some quality there, but their hard attack material, I mean, they've got to help themselves, seriously. I can't imagine being their coach, but I think they'll get better as the season goes along as they form combinations. I definitely liked Cogger there. He didn't have his best game, but I felt like he freed up Ponga, and Ponga looked a lot better. Ponga will be better as the year goes on. I don't think he's going to be out of my side for too long. The Storm, they just never give up, and that goes a long way in the NRL. They were sort of not even close to being in that game and then gave themselves a chance to win it in the end. Didn't get there, but yeah, they're going to win a lot of games this year. Okay, have a look at the scores. Kalen Ponga, like I said, bounced back with 76. Still happy with my trade out. He's going to drop some cash. I'm happy to back the Warriors to keep him, you know, 75 to 100 or less, hopefully, next week, and then possibly look at trading him in after that, particularly if he gets, I think it might be like St. George or something like that, and St. George are looking very, very suspect in defense. Yeah, after having a pretty good start to the season, maybe they were flattered by the Titans, I guess. Jack Cogger, 41. Not really super coach relevant, but keep an eye on it. Kai Pierce-Paul, 65 in 80 minutes. Oh, hard to know what to make of this, but if you've got him at 345K and he's probably going to have a bit of a price rise from there, but it's a bit like the Canberra back row conundrum there. I don't know if you can back him to get 80 minutes every week, but he's certainly a promising player. He's going on my watch list. Adam Elliott come down to earth a little bit after that big two-try game, 43. Jaden Brayley, 21. I'd like to see him have, you know, 3 or 4 weeks where he just knocks out those sort of 20s to 30s and gets his price right down into that cheapy range. And I could see myself downgrading him because I think eventually he comes back in and plays 60 to 70, possibly even 80 minutes. I think he's a far superior player to Phoenix Crosland. I don't know where Crosland fits into it all, but yeah, I could see Brayley coming back in once he gets right. And I think they'll take their time given his injury history. And yeah, he's a player I'm going to be watching very closely. Pappenhausen looked great. 76 goes into the bye with that. Well done to owners that grabbed him. Pretty happy. I was tossing up between him and Teddy. Obviously, Penrith game was a bit of a downfall, but Teddy came out and put on a really good show there against South. Harry Grant, 63. I think people would be saying maybe that he's a bit of a trade out, but yeah, I'm in two minds. I've got to have a close look at what Lussick's situation is, whether he's got another price rise in him, but I may well trade out Harry to get to Appy and then trade Harry back in before he even plays another game, even though I'll be trading him in with a fairly big BE, but I want to ride the season with him mostly. I mean, he's obviously got Origin to go through and he normally gets rested by that, but I really feel once he gets Nelson Asofa-Solomona and a couple of those forwards that create ruck speed, his scoring is going to go through the roof. And the game tonight was a pretty good example, pretty good pointer to how he's going. Sean Bloor, 39, so pretty so-so in his return to the NRL. Okay, just before we finish up the weekly wrap for this week, Jay Schubert, he's got in touch with me. He's going to be sending through the top 10 from each position price rises, so the price changes that he's projecting, so coming through, and I'll have a bit of a chat about him. So looking at centre, it looks like centre wing there. You've got Tago, might be center wing and fullback, because he's got Tago, he's going to rise 84,000. Not a surprise after he's got those two huge scores. Tedesco, 76,000. Very happy with that. Mulitalo, for those that brought him in, 70,000. Probably got another price rise in him as well. Lomax, he's going to go up 66,000 with a 54 break even. Val Holmes up 62,000. Rapana, good pickup if you've got him, up 50,000. And Talakai up 50,000. A couple of the others in that group just under 50,000. You've got Sloan, Tuipiki, Strange, Ben Trbojevic, Taff. Bit of a surprise there, but Blake Taff's going to go up, and Xavier Savage. So a few there. Now looking at the second row forward, obviously those people that jumped on Zach Hoskins are going to enjoy around about a 90K price rise, and he comes into next week with a projected break even of around 19. So there's more money to earn there. I think you'll probably get about 110, 120 out of him unless he can jag another try. But after that, I'm not sure he's a play. I think he's probably a trade out to maximize that and make your money on him and then go from there. Joshy Curran, 51,000. Like I said, if you didn't get him in this week, that's probably as cheap as you're going to get him. Joshy Curran. Sam McIntyre, very happy with that. He's going to go up 49,000 with a projected break even next week of 6. So more price rises in order for Sammy McIntyre. Morgan Smithy's going to go up 43,000 or thereabouts. Radley, bit of a surprising one there, $40,000 price rise. Tommy Eisenhuth, Raymond Faitula-Mariner, Finafuiaki, Jackson Ford, Wilton, Yo, all around the 25,000 to 35,000 price rise. So a few good ones there. In the halves, this is where it becomes interesting. Biggest price rise is Chad Townsend, so 60,000, and he's got a break even of 2. I can't imagine there'd be too many people who started with him or who'd be dragging him into their team, but you know, well done to him. And Kyle Flanagan, 57,000 price rise, projected break even of 12. Metcalf, like we said, he's got plenty of attack. He's going to have a break even of 27, and he's going to rise around about 53,000. Tommy Dearden just below them, about a 30,000 rise coming for him. Okay, onto the front row forwards. Like I said before, Liam Henry is leading the charge. Jay Shubas is predicting that he's going to have a price change of around 51,000 when lockout comes out, and a break even of around negative 8. And then Tommy Hazelton, I hadn't really been keeping an eye on him, but a break-even projected for 4 and a rise of 50,000, which is about the same that Terrell May will have. Okay, last one we're looking at there. No, I think that's about it. Might have missed a position there, but big thanks to Jay Schubert for providing them. That brings us to the end of the SC Playbook weekly wrap for this week. Just a important message for those listeners out there of the weekly wrap. Because we have the Easter Monday game next week, I'll be recording the weekly wrap after the Easter Monday game. So it'll be out sort of Monday night for listeners. So if you're looking for it on a Sunday, Easter Sunday, going to have that off, watch the Timmy Zoo fight, watch a bit of NRL Monday Arvo after the game. I'll punch it out and have it out there on Monday afternoon for everyone to listen to. Thanks for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.